You're listening to MLB.com Extras, brought to you by MLB.tv. It's baseball everywhere.
Welcome to MLB.com Extras, the Arizona Diamondbacks. I'm Richard Justice of MLB.com, and I'm joined by my old buddy, Steve Gilbert, who covers the Diamondbacks for MLB.com. Steve, before we get to the trade and the search for pitching and all that stuff, I just want to ask you about Paul Goldschmidt. He's 27 years old. He's made the last two All-Star games, almost won an MVP 2 years ago. And just when you think, you know, you've seen the best of Paul Goldschmidt, he gets even better. I mean, just looking at his numbers, they're insane how good this guy is. I mean, this guy's approaching a 500 on base percentage. This is Bond territory. As you cover him day to day, you've gotten to know him through the years. Well, what are the things about Paul Goldschmidt that most impress you?
I think, Richard, you know, it's the mental side of the game for him. And I recently wrote a story about it. It's his desire to get better on a daily basis. And when you talk to people around the Diamondbacks, you know, whether it be coaches, other players, management, they'll tell you that being around Paul Goldschmidt makes you want to be better because he is so committed to improving every day in some way, you know, and he's constantly asking questions. He's constantly trying to pick up little things. You know, he's stolen double-digit bases because he studies opposing pitchers so that he can pick up a stolen base here and there that might help the team score an extra run. He just does those things, those little things. He's constantly trying to improve. The mental side of the game for him right now is big because he said, you know, physically at age 27, he's probably not going to get any better from a physical standpoint. So for him right now, he feels like the biggest thing he can do is continue to improve mentally in his approach to the game and picking up things around the game.
Steve, you think some of this was born, I'm fairly close to Matt Carpenter and Alan Craig, and they both went through this. Do you think some of this was born of being an eighth-round draft pick that he felt he had to overprove himself? Or do you think, hey, this is just who the kid is? The kid wants to get every ounce of baseball there is out of his talent.
I think it's more the latter. He doesn't ever seem to be motivated by perceived slights because I don't think he really pays attention. He's one of the few players that doesn't have a Twitter account. He, you know, goes out of his way to not read stuff that's written about the Diamondbacks. He tends to read the business section of the newspaper, and he'll glance at the sports section, but he doesn't know what people are writing about him because he doesn't feel like, again, that'll help him get better on any given day or help him in his dealings with the media on a daily basis if he knows specifically what they're writing about him. So, but, you know, certainly he went to a not necessarily a baseball power at Texas State University, and he was just a guy that kind of was overlooked in a lot of ways through the whole draft process.
Just one last thing on Goldie. He understands that he's a role model, I take it, in his work for the community and being the face of the franchise and all that stuff. I take it in talking to him, he takes that part of it seriously. Am I right?
Yeah, he really does. And he's aware that people pay attention, the kids pay attention to what it is that he does. And it's very rare to see him say anything to an umpire. Certainly, you never see him be demonstrative with an umpire. He's just very aware that he has a responsibility. He and his wife do a lot for the Phoenix Children's Hospital, things that he doesn't like to talk about publicly or doesn't want cameras following him around publicly. But you're right, he does. And to raise money for Phoenix Children's Hospital, he had this fundraiser where they sold the Bleacher Creature dolls, likenesses of himself, which was really hard for him to approve because he, you know, doesn't like to promote himself, and so to have his doll out there with his likeness was something that was difficult for him. But when he realized it could raise some significant money for the hospital, for the children's hospital, he agreed to go along with it.
Yeah, the Diamondbacks made a really fascinating trade this week, or I guess it was last week, in trading the young kid, the 19-year-old first-round draft pick from a year ago, Tuki Toussaint, to the Braves and they traded Bronson Arroyo's contract. I guess in Bronson Arroyo went with the contract, I assume, for an infielder, Phil Gosselin. And I think that your initial reaction is, well, this was a salary dump, and it probably was. But I guess the second part of that is, and Tony La Russa was pretty adamant in telling you, let's see what we do with the money. We think we have a chance to win now, and we're going to use that money and the Mark Trumbo money to improve the club. Having had a few days to think about it, what is your analysis of what the Diamondbacks attempted to do?
Well, I think, Richard, it's a fascinating kind of trade. You just don't see it happen very often. It's almost as though the Braves kind of purchased the Touki Toussaint from the Diamondbacks. Tony La Russa and Dave Stewart were adamant that the money that they saved, you know, around $10 million, was not just something that was going to go into, you know, the owner's pockets or you know, just disappear. It was going to be something that they were going to hold in reserve, or if they felt like there was a move to be made towards the end of the towards the trade deadline this year, or maybe during the offseason heading into next year. So I think it's your snap judgment is to say, gave up a first-round draft pick, and but I think we need to give it some time to see what they do with the actual money savings that they made that they got in the deal to be able to fully evaluate it in perspective.
Okay, from a practical standpoint, if they had their druthers, would they go out and add a starting pitcher or just try to shore up the bullpen? I know they need both, but and I guess the second part of that question is, where are they with Archie Bradley and Patrick Corbin pitching again?
Maybe two more rehab starts before they take a look at it and decide if he's ready to be activated. So he could be coming soon. How much they can realistically expect of him, I know they want to be real careful with him coming off Tommy John. They want to be, you know, they don't want to look at him as like a savior and overwork him this year. So it'd be interesting to see how much he's able to contribute in the second half of the season. As for Archie, he just now has started back out on the rehab program. He's going to have to prove himself, you know, whereas Patrick Corbin's going to have to show that he's healthy and his elbow is healthy. They want Archie Bradley to show some success as well because he had so many struggles in his previous four starts right before he went on the disabled list. So he's going to have to earn his way back onto that roster. So he's got a dual role there in terms of getting his shoulder back to being 100% and also showing that he can be the pitcher he was for his first three starts of the year when he was put up really, really good numbers before he got hit in the face.
So in terms of upgrading the club, they would just go for any kind of pitching or would they prefer a starter? How does Tony and Dave look at it?
You know, I think they would prefer a starter at this point, but you know, they do like some of the young pitching that they have coming up, and they do have Corbin coming back. They do have Archie coming back. So it's going to be interesting to see, you know, how big a buyers they are at the trade deadline, if they're just kind of looking for a small improvement and kind of banking on, you know, next year kind of being the year to make a big push, you know, maybe during the offseason with the crop of pitchers that's going to be out there on the market. Or if they decide to go all in here and really, you know, make a trade for a big time starter before the trade deadline.
Chase Anderson has had an interesting year, and I love watching him pitch in that he seems to be a pitcher. What is the evolution of him? And when Dave Duncan and Dave and those guys got there, what did they see that they liked about Chase Anderson? And does he, at 27 years old, do they see him as a long-term part of the pitching staff?
You know, he's another guy that that wasn't a high draft pick. He doesn't wow you with his with radar gun reading, but he's a very steady pitcher, and he's a guy that when he goes out there, most times you know what you're going to get out of him, and that's a very valuable thing in today's game. And I think, you know, they've worked with him a little bit more on throwing a two-seam fastball. That's a Dave Duncan specialty. So he's used that with quite a bit of success this year. That's helped him. I think they do see him as a long-term part of that rotation because he's a guy that they think year in and year out is going to be a consistent guy that puts up innings, which with the way the rotation was going earlier this year, it was helpful to know at least when he went out there he was going to give you six innings. So, yeah, I think he's a guy that while he might not wow you with his stuff, pure stuff, his ability to pitch and his approach on the mound is something that, that they like a lot.
Do you think Tony and Dave and Ken Kendrick and the whole gang there, do you think they're surprised to be two under, or is this what they thought they had, a club that would scrap and, you know, and hang around and have a chance?
I don't think they're as surprised as the rest of us are. I think, you know, Tony had said last year at the GM meetings before they started making some of the moves that they made, you know, before the Tomas signing, before the Hellickson trade, before all that stuff, Tony told us he'd be heartbroken if they weren't at least 500 in 2015, which surprised a lot of us considering how, you know, how much they struggled last year with the worst record in baseball. So I think for them, maybe they always expected to be right around this spot. I think for the rest of us kind of figured that, you know, maybe they'd be a little worse off than they are now and that this was just going to be kind of a year of growth for them. But certainly Chip Hale has them playing hard night in and night out and right around the 500 mark, which I think given where they were last year, that's a pretty big accomplishment for this organization.
Yeah, it's a fun team to watch. The center fielder, Pollock, is a terrific player. Anyway, thanks for your time, Steve, and we'll talk to you soon.
MLB.TV Premium, the number one live streaming sports service, is celebrating 13 years. Watch every out-of-market regular season game live or on demand in true HD. Real-time highlights, live look-ins, pitch tracking widget, and more. MLB.TV Premium includes a free At-Bat 15 subscription. Watch live baseball on over 400 mobile and connected devices. Watch at home, in the office, or on the go. Every night, on every device. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Visit MLB.TV for details.